Hour two of the Blitz starting right now, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, live on 1340 AM, 105.7 FM, live in your Fan Run Radio app, free, wherever you get your apps. And also, if you want to watch along, well, the live stream, it's streaming, the live video feed streaming on Twitter and on Facebook. But let's head back over to the big orange Philly phone lines again, 865-546-8200, your number to call in. But joining us now, we got a call from Roberto. Roberto, how you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding. Oh, God. Like 52 hours. I'm ready.
It's good math.
We've reached please God, let the game just get here portion of Sports Talk Radio for the week, haven't we, gentlemen?
Yeah, we really have. I mean, me and Andy were talking before the show. We're like, man, what else do we say? Like, there's still so much to be said, but like...
It's a big game, but there's not much, like, other than what's in front of us, you know?
Yeah, it's exciting, though. I mean, that's an exciting place to live, gentlemen. Out here in God's country, just past Shield Stadium on the way to Von Orr, beautiful Von Orr. Got to pick up some of the clear stuff for the gating festivities on Saturday. You boys in?
That sounds excellent. The clear stuff is always
that sounds nice.
Mm-hmm. It's good, too. The guy's doing it right down here.
Mm.
So, what has already been said has been said. The Ventrell Miller thing that popped up yesterday is a bit disconcerting. I said that on the show Three and Out before you guys. That's a little disconcerting to me. He's a really good player, and I was hanging my hat on the fact that he was not playing on Saturday, and now that they're thinking he is, that's not good for us. Doesn't mean we're going to lose, but that's not good for us. And anybody who doesn't think that he's an impact player just needs to watch the Vegas lines when they open up later today. If they announce he's definitely playing, that's going to be a 2 to 3 point move for the Sharps, I think.
You think do you think a linebacker can really have like a 3 point difference in a line? I understand how good he is in specifically how you can utilize him against the RPO.
He's a quarterback of their defense.
Right.
Absolutely. Yes. My answer is yes. Normally, any linebacker, for example, praise be, let's not get these guys hurt, but if the Banks were out for us, no, it's not. That's not a 3 point move. But this guy, absolutely. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, their rush defense has struggled. Yeah, they were bad. I mean, South Florida was able to gash them at times, especially in that first half. But
the reason they were able to run for 300 yards is because nobody was in position.
Right. I understand how good of a player Ventrell Miller is. I just don't know if, even if you are like the quarterback of the defense, like you said, even if you are that middle linebacker, I don't know if it can be that massive of an impact, because you still have to have, you know, the boys in front of you at the line of scrimmage like set the table for you to be able to make plays. You still have to have your middle linebacker counterpart.
They have to be in position, and he puts them in position. We'll just have to disagree, it sounds like, on this. Because
no, I do agree with you that it's a massive impact. Like, I agree. Like, when you have a guy like Miller, again, that can get everyone lined up right and just lead a defense, especially when you're facing a system like Heupel's, where you have to be able to communicate quickly, line up quickly, see things quickly, and react quickly. You know, that is really important. I guess my biggest thing is, like, I just still... Whether you put them in a better position or not, I think that Florida's front seven is still somewhat limited. You know, even if, you know, say they're aligned a little bit better because of Miller, like I still don't think that they're going to consistently be winning gaps and holding gaps and getting on shoulders and holding those shoulders to allow those linebackers to fit the runs correctly and make plays.
Well, I got to say, you made a convincing argument, but I'm still... When the line moves considerably, I think there's going to be a lot of money coming in on Florida in the next 24 hours. I'll just say that.
Yeah,
I think the Sharps are going to hit it pretty hard if they announce that he's starting for sure.
I think you see that line start to move back towards Florida a little bit.
It's strange that it hasn't really busted in the last 24 hours. It's strange to me, but the Sharps are always coming in on Fridays anyway.
Right.
Friday, Saturday.
Because I figured it would build up, especially with Tennessee being one of, 12 legal gambling states. Just a ton of money would come in on Tennessee, But then, well, yeah, Friday, people would buy that line back down.
Yeah, it did, especially on the apps, because the apps try to jump the line. You know, Pinnacle basically sets all the lines. Like, Pinnacle out in Vegas is kind of the guys who are, like, the stuff, right?
Right.
I want to say you could have even gotten Tennessee at, like, 6 on, like, Monday morning or Sunday evening, which is crazy to me, on some of the betting apps.
Yeah, the way that line has fluctuated doesn't make a ton of sense across the board.
Well, the sharps hammered it. What happened? They rolled out those lines on the apps, and the sharps annihilated it into oblivion and got it to where they knew it was going to be when it came out at bigger sports books. Frankly, well, at the end of the day, guys, even if he is or he's not worth 3 points, I still think the Vols are going to win. But we've reached the portion of the week where everybody who was fired up at the beginning of the week, whose head was telling them that the Vols are going to win because the Vols are better, are now starting to listen to their hearts like myself and starting to pull back the reins a little bit, because I know I'm about to get, you know, shot through the middle of my chest. And it's so funny that you guys were talking about games here. Like, you were talking about, like, 04 was, like, the first game you might remember, right? I was in G... Row 6, seat 11 for that game. I was a student at the University of Tennessee, if that tells you how old I am. And that was mayhem. Single loudest moment I've ever heard kneeling in my life, and I've been there for all the big ones since, say, 1989. Okay? And it is that when James Wilhoy hit that field goal, I have never heard anything like that. Now, sustained noise is Oklahoma or Cal. I'll go with Oklahoma personally. I think Saturday you're going to have sustained noise being the loudest. We're going to have a deep impact on that game. I know people don't think we are, but we are as a fan base. We can have a deep impact on that game. As I was talking to another guy who gambles even more than I do, he said, normally now home field really isn't worth 3.5, but Saturday it will be.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
And I see that, and I think that first, if we get some kind of crazy play, or we go over the top with an early touchdown pass, or we get a pick, you know, 6 maybe, God knows that kid can throw pick 6s. This is his only touchdown of the year was a pick 6. He's got no touchdowns except throwing to the other team. That place will hit a level like you've never heard. And I'm so excited about that as a fan who, at my ripe old 41.5, I'm just so ready to not suck anymore. We've sucked half of my natural born life, which is crazy when you think that I'm over 40 years old. Guys, I hope for your sake you get to remember it the way I remember it when I was your age. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Roberto. Always good to hear from you. Yeah, I mean, like, I think I went to just about every game when I was in college. I missed a couple my freshman year. I was going to my brother's games instead, but pretty much for 4 years, I went to every game home and away. And I think I might have picked, like, the worst 4-year stretch of Tennessee football to ever do that. But Andy, like, in me and you's lifetime, Sam, you too. We haven't really seen a ton of good Tennessee football. We've seen more bad than good. Would be really nice to finally see this, you know, to fully turn a corner. And I think this weekend is a big part of turning that corner. And in terms of the noise, yeah, I think it's going to be like a wall of noise. You know, the old Admiral video, reading the Oklahoma quotes, they talk about.
Were you at that Oklahoma game?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just.
It was something else.
It was just special. Yeah. Like, it was just, it was special. And, you know, it still gets referred to all the time now, even though you lost that game, because it was just that loud. It was that impactful. It was just that crazy. And those Oklahoma players, like, they still talk about that. Like, it was just, even silent counts weren't working. Like, they had to change everything. I think that can really frustrate Florida's offense. And again, you know, it's what going to be game 4 for Florida with a new coaching staff, a new system, and a new quarterback that's now fully entrenched as their starter. If communication gets significantly harder, as I expect it to be, yeah, that is worth, you know, a full 3 points. That is a home field advantage that truly impacts a football game. And man, you said 2004 Florida was the single loudest moment. Obviously, I can't really speak to that because I was 5 and in Franklin, Tennessee, but I'd venture to say that this weekend can – reach that same level. And I will say, even like last year against Ole Miss, not throughout the entirety of the game, it was not there, but in the fourth quarter, when third down for what played for the first time in years, that singular moment to me was the loudest I've ever heard a sporting event. And I think that you can have a lot of those moments with this crowd on Saturday.
Do we get a third down for what?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I heard someone say third down for what is like Nickelback. Like actually good, but it's just easy to make fun of and easy to hate on.
I love the progression of it because it went from the coolest thing ever to like, all right, maybe we should try to phase this out. We've been using it for a couple of years to now. If it comes back, everyone's going to lose their minds.
I think people associated third down for what with just how bad the football team was, and that's why
it wasn't even that bad when we pulled.
They pulled the plug in what, 2017 when you went? Like,
No. It was gone before. 2016 might have been the last year, yeah.
Yeah,
they didn't do it at all for the 2017 season.
No, not
from,
at all.
From game one, they didn't even do it. It was over after 2016.
So I guess people started to get tired of it.
Yeah,
conveniently as the team started collapsing.
Well, they had used it for
3 years.
I
never really got tired of it.
That 2017 wasn't supposed to be that bad of a year. I mean, you started out ranked, so.
Yeah, and it was just bad.
Yeah, so it's like, I think it phased out just because it was like 3 years of hearing it. You're like, all right, maybe we should start doing something else on third down.
But I think, again, it just still got associated with like the gimmickiness of Butch Jones and his cheesiness and just our general disdain towards him. But I don't know. I still like, if third down for what plays on a big third down on Saturday, yeah, I'm going to go crazy. That's going to be awesome.
Yep.
And man, if you can get off to like a hot start, like you said, like if you can hit something over the top or force an early turnover.
Imagine like a Ball State start tomorrow.
It's just going to be vibrating.
Yeah.
Like just
floating.
Yeah. Wow. And I don't know. I think Florida's probably going to be a little conservative early. Like I think that they're going to try to not let Tennessee get off to the hot starts that they've somewhat been accustomed to under Heupel in the first quarter. I think that they're probably going to try to take the air out of the ball and not really let Tennessee's offense get going and have that hot first quarter. I think they're going to try to bog things down, take the crowd out of it, and try to just win like a slower, clunkier game. Like I think Florida's going to try to muck it up a little bit. So I don't know if the opportunity will be there to create that big play defensively early, but man, if you could take the top off the defense early, that would certainly get things going. And it's funny, like Roberto was saying at the start of the week, I think there was a lot of energy. Like everyone was feeling pretty high because your brain was telling you, hey, Tennessee's a better team. Tennessee should win this game. It should be a great weekend. But as we get closer, the cheeks start to get a little tighter. They start to pucker. You know, you start to tense up a little bit. Because you do.
Yeah, because
then you remember.
Get to the point where you actually have to play the game now.
2015,
yeah.
And you remember 2014 and 2013 and 2012. And
I think that's all the pain. It's just.
But I think that's us. It's not them. Well, not, that's us.
No, it's just the fact that it's like there is two outcomes. And then one of them would be really sad, obviously. Like it's just there's two different things that can happen. And one's bad. So you start to realize, like, hey, this can happen. Like, it's a thing that can happen.
I don't want
to think about that.
I love this matchup for Tennessee, though. Like, on paper, I love this matchup. The strength of Florida's offense plays right into the strength of your defense. Their weaknesses make it so they're not well-equipped to attack your weaknesses. I just think that, you know, defensively, you're set up to be able to have a big game. I think this defense can be huge on Saturday. Like, Florida wants to run the ball. It's what they do. They're averaging 212 rushing yards a game. They have 8 touchdowns, over 600 yards in 3 games, like 6.4 yards a carry. But Tennessee, I think, has been really good against the run this year. And I know people talk about Pitt. And I don't know. Pitt was able to get loose against you a couple times. That's not reality. I don't really think Pitt was able to get loose against you a couple times. I think the reality is that Israel, Andy, can you pronounce his last name?
Abanaconda.
Yes, thank you. I think the reality is he broke loose for a 76-yard run because one of your linebackers read RPO and flew out to the slant for whatever reason. The other one got blocked, and then your safety, who's usually used to fitting, you know, a significantly smaller run lane, had 15 yards to try to cut down space and tackle a good running back, and he didn't do it. You had one busted run, and sure, you don't want that to happen on Saturday, but he had 25 carries for 154 yards, right?
Yeah.
Away 75, and you take away 76, so 154 minus 76, that's 24 carries, 78 yards. That's barely 3 yards a carry. You know, obviously, you don't just get to erase the big run.
Yeah.
But in terms of like what Tennessee's run defense was consistently able to do, they were consistently able to fit gaps, penetrate, and not really allow the big play on the ground. And, you know, sure, you know, one bad fit, like one bad read was able to allow the big play, but I think you can really kind of suffocate Florida's rushing offense this weekend. But we'll catch a break here, and we'll hit an opening drive, second segment edition, on the other side. Let's go. Let's go. The juice is flowing, Sam. I don't want to wait any longer.
I don't
Quit
either.
Making me wait. It's not fair.
It's the last T-Day. Last T-Day. Come on.
We still got another F-Day, though.
Yeah, but...
but it's an F-Day!
But then it's like 24 hours of the game, you know, it's...
on it, but like the build-up on Saturday for the game will be almost as fun as the game, too.
No? Oh, wait, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just like...
the opposite of no.
But no?
I don't know. For me, like, I don't enjoy the build-up to games as much like the day
I
of.
Do. Well, no, not like on Friday.
No, like, I'm talking like Saturday.
Oh. I'll enjoy it.
Like, tailgating and going to bars and whatever, well, for me, is just, like, a way to try to deal with the stress. More than, like, something to enjoy.
It's just fun to, like, build the tension of game. Like, you wake up and it's game day, and it's just, like, it just keeps building as you get closer and closer. You know, it, like,
breathe
yeah.
In, breathe out.
Yes. Calm. And it's, like, it's at least it's not, like, a focus. Night game, you know? You don't have to wait all day.
Right.
You just wait after lunch, right after lunch.
There's nothing worse than like Monday Night Football on Monday was awful. Besides the actual game, like having to wait for like a Monday Night Football kickoff, like that's the worst. Like waiting, having a late kickoff during a day, I just can't handle it. I don't think I'm a patient enough person. You know, I'm
fair enough.
I was the kind Cowboys of kid, I was the kind of kid that week. Was up at 5 a.m. Christmas morning, like trying to walk the dogs and make the coffee myself as like a 5-year-old, just so we could get everyone up so I could open presents. Like,
makes sense.
Just never been a patient guy. But I was going to say we could hit an opening drive. I think there's only one story that's outside of the realm of what we've been talking about that's actually really worth talking about. Yeah, sure, like Sarver, he's going to sell the Suns and the Mercury. That's cool. But the Celtics are having quite the last 24 hours as head coach Ime Udoka. Did I say that right? You're my
maybe.
Pronunciation guy.
Ime Udoka? That sounds right to me.
Is facing a potential year-long suspension for violating team conduct. That was the initial report. We've since learned that he had an intimate relationship with a female member of the franchise's staff. The relationship, it's considered a violation of organizational guidelines, and the proposed penalty is largely unprecedented for a sitting coach. But yeah, potentially a year-long suspension. And assistant coach Joe Mazzulla is likely to become the interim coach for the season, sources have told ESPN. His top assistant, Will Hardy, he left to take over the Jazz. So the Celtics and Okuda, I mean, they went from a spot where, like, you know, you were comparing him to Eric Spoelstra in that Eastern Conference Finals and saying, hey, you know, this looks like a guy that can become one of the next great coaches like Eric Spoelstra. Like, he's gone toe-to-toe with him at points in time in that series. And the Celtics with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, like, you know, the team of the future in the NBA with the coach of the future. And now there's a lot of turmoil there. You know, you had an NBA Finals where at times your stars didn't show up, and now your coach is going to be suspended for a year. And how could he do this to our queen, Nia? Nia Long, how could he do this?
But my question is, you know, where did he come from prior to this pass? This is his first year with the Celtics, and he has all this success.
He's been putting in the work, just as, you know, grinding throughout the ranks under
I don't see why Brad Stevens can't go get another one. Just go get another coach at this point. Did it last year. I feel like he's still in control. Don't you think? A little bit. Brad Stevens. I think he's got it figured out.
Yeah.
I hope not. Like, I hope.
What if he just takes over and just, I'll just coach for again, another year again?
I think, obviously, Udoka did good things. Like, got further than Brad Stevens got.
I just don't know how you, like, bounce back from this if you're him. I mean, just what a disastrous situation. First of all, you cheated on your wife. Second of all, you did it with a staff member.
Yeah, no,
As you hold a position of power within that organization.
Yeah.
And then, you know, third of all, the rumors that are allegedly flying out there right now is not only was it a staff member, it was a married staff member. And not only was it one intimate relationship, but again, allegedly it was more than one.
Yeah, and, no, it's not a good recipe because it's like the suspension
is apparently married.
The suspension is within the Celtics organization. It's not from the NBA because there are a lot of people that are saying, well, how is he getting suspended for an entire year when, you know, Robert Sarver was only suspended for a year? Sarver was suspended by the NBA. Udoka's just being punished by his own team, right?
Right. And, yeah. You know,
He's already out.
It's hard to he's selling the team.
He's going to be gone.
But it's hard to really, like, judge how long you should suspend someone for something like this. But it is pretty serious. Like, when you hold a position of power in an organization, you can't just be sleeping with women that are beneath you in the power structure. Like, that's just... how consensual it was or whatever, that's just something that you can't do.
You're still the head of the franchise, one of the most storied franchises all of basketball.
Man.
Yeah, no, it's a bad look.
Don't do it to Nia.
It's a bad situation for a team that had a lot of success.
It's just such a weird story.
Yeah.
Like,
would you have expected that to happen here on the 21st night of September, that to have dropped?
I'm sure he'll remember.
Yep. Always be a sour day for him now. He can't even enjoy the song.
That actually has got to be awful. Like, yeah. For the rest of his life, every time you hear little, do you remember? He's just, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
They caught me. That's the day they found out.
Yep.
I just couldn't keep it in my pants.
Think about that, though. Like, this has probably been found out for a while now. And now everyone knows.
Just keep it in your pants, man. Again, you have Nia Long. Why do you need anything else? She's beautiful. She's awesome. Come on.
R.I.P., man.
Just...
This league.
It works for me. I mean, I'm a Heat guy, so...
I don't know what this really does. Like, I don't know what this does.
I think,
like,
it hurts the Celtics. It does. Clearly he had an impact on that Celtics team. In a positive manner, because he helped turn that franchise around at middle of the season. And you know, they made a push all the way to the NBA Finals, which shouldn't have happened because Max Strus was not out of bounds and that three-pointer should have counted.
So the thing is, like, if he's suspended for an entire season, how is it just going to be okay
next
year?
How do you, like get
how,
back into
Yeah, how is it just going to be okay now?
Right. Like, that's, I guess, how much does this set back the Celtics? Like, do you just consider firing him? Like, is there a part of you that's just,
I feel like,
your head. You said a very clear no.
Like, I mean, where do you go, though? He just got you to the finals. I don't know why, I mean... It's not a great look for the guy, but I feel like he's not going to get fired for it.
I mean, I don't think he'll get fired, but is that not something that maybe you consider? Like, do you really want to just put your franchise with, you know, the window that you currently have open with the young talent that you have coming off of a run to the NBA Finals? Do you want to put them in basically purgatory? While you just, you know, hey, we have a coach, but, like, he's our coach for a year, and then, like, he'll be an assistant, and then... Like, Udoka will be back, but, like, also those players still probably have, like, a relationship with him and will still, I imagine, communicate with him throughout the year. Like, what kind of dynamic does that create? What will his relationship, like, be like with the team, with the organization, with the players moving forward? Like, I think there's just so many unknowns here that if you're the Celtics, I don't know, maybe part of you does consider, why don't we wipe out those unknowns, and, yeah, we might have lost a great coach, but, like, we get this year back, and, you know, we trust Brad Stevens to go identify a new young mind. I don't know. I think that's at least – I don't think they're considering it, but I think it's something they should consider. Just so strange. Not what I was expecting to happen on a Wednesday night in September. Not what I was expecting to be talking about on the Thursday of Florida week. But the NBA, the NFL never sleeps. Like, there's just it's a 24-hour news cycle, 365 days a year. The NBA just never ceases to have weird, absurd drama. And it's always awesome. It's never, never not entertaining. But, yeah, just we'll continue to kind of monitor what goes on with that situation. It's very weird. It's hard to really determine where all parties go next from here. But where we're headed next is Thursday, Fact or Fiction. On the other side of the break, stay with us here on The Blitz. Back here on The Blitz, want to remind you, hey, we're 6 days away from our next one. We gave one away live here on The Blitz. Free windows hit Wednesdays. They're happening every Wednesday during the football season right here on Fan Run Radio. We'll be drawing a winner and giving away winners every week, courtesy of G&J Auto Graphics. So again, every Wednesday during football season, tinting your windows, it can be cool. Both literally and figuratively. First of all, again, it just looks so cool. Second of all, it actually keeps you cool. Lowers the temperature inside your vehicles. So you can win your free window tint by going online, registering at fanrunradio.com/tint. That is fanrunradio.com/TINT. And then listen to Fan Run Radio Wednesdays during football season to hear the weekly winners. Free window tint Wednesdays, courtesy of G&J Auto Graphics. Check them out online, gnjauto.com. Sam, it's time for a little Thursday Fact or Fiction. What you got on the docket for us today?
We got a little Tennessee-Florida edition of Fact or Fiction here today.
Mm.
Big matchup.
Is it?
Fact or Fiction. Heard. Anthony Richardson will throw for two or more touchdowns on Saturday.
Hmm. I'll start. I'll go fiction. I think he gets one. You got to start somewhere. I think he definitely gets one.
Surely he's got to get one.
But
right?
I think if they're in a goal line, it's gonna be from 10-plus yards out if it happens. Like, if they're in a goal line situation, they're running the ball, either him or one of their backs. So I think he gets one. I don't think he's going to go 4 weeks without one. But two, I don't know. Well, maybe he'll get two the next week. Baby steps.
Charlie's really thinking about this one.
Well, I think they score like two touchdowns, but do I think that they're both passing touchdowns?
No.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go fiction. He hasn't thrown one all year. Why start now?
Yeah.
Why start now with two?
I'll give him one. Give him one.
I'll give him zero. I'll give him another tackle. Actually, I'll see how Sam's third quarter goes first. But
true.
But yeah. I'll go fiction as well. He's not going to throw two touchdown passes on Saturday.
He's got to throw two touchdowns in the second half of my dream for him to... Well,
we said earlier, though, the second half.
How did they score? What was their score in your dream?
It was a rushing touchdown in the first half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fact or fiction, Tennessee's defense will hold Florida to under 150 rushing yards.
Ooh, that's another tough one. I'm going to go fact. I know they're averaging, what, I think I said 202 a game, right? 202 a game coming into this week. Was it 212?
Let's see.
It was, they've been averaging 212 yards per game on the ground. But, I don't know. I mean, something we haven't really talked about, and I'm sure we'll get into more tomorrow, too. It is important to remember, like, Florida still doesn't have a backup quarterback right now. Like, their backup's a walk-on. You know, they did officially rule out Jack Miller. I mean, maybe... Just maybe, like, there's a chance that, you know, they're running the ball a little bit less with Anthony Richardson. Obviously, you don't want to get into a situation if you're Florida where he's banged up. I don't know. And plus, like, I think that Florida knows that the place that they need to attack is Tennessee's secondary, even if they don't feel like they're incredibly well-equipped to do that. I don't know. I think that you're just going to see maybe Florida puts the ball in the air a little bit more in the second half. I also just think they'll be trailing in the second half, and they're going to have to be playing catch-up. So for that reason, yeah, I'll say under. Fiction. Fact. Was it fact or fiction? Either way, under.
Fact. I think they're going to go over 150 yards because I think that's what their play style is going to just be. I mean, they're averaging second most carries per rushing attempt in the SEC right now. I know Tennessee has handled the run really well so far through their first 3 weeks, but I just think Florida, that's going to obviously be their mission, is to pound the rock with their trio of running backs, and then Anthony Richardson, he's going to try to escape if he can. He hasn't been able to really do so since week one, but 150 at the end of the day, they've got, you know, two main featured backs. That's really just if three guys combine for each have 50 yards. So I think they can do that. I think that's what they'll try to do. I know if Anthony Richardson's only throwing one touchdown, I think they're one or the other is going to happen. They're either going to get 150 rushing yards, or they're going to throw for more than, you know, one touchdown. Unless it's just a shutout.
I don't know. Unless the defense plays a perfect game. The defense, like, wins this game.
No, they could. They could. They could just completely shut them out. But I think one or the other is going to happen.
Right into the hands. Yeah, you're right. You're right. One of the two has got to happen. 150.
150 at the end of the day is not an incredible amount.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Sacks, though? Those count against?
It does.
I'll stick with where I'm at.
I'm just saying that.
149, Andy.
There are five teams in the SEC right now that don't average over 150 rushing yards a game.
I think maybe even the better question would be, like, right now they're averaging 6.2 yards a carry. Like, will they average more than, like, four and a half?
No, I think that goes down.
I do, too.
Yeah. They're not going to hit their average.
No.
I mean, that's an incredible average,
right? Yeah, that is. That's an incredible average. Well short of that. Sam?
It's kind of like a double question here, almost. Mm. Fact or fiction?
Double.
Cedric Tillman's injury becomes a major difference maker in this game. And then kind of coming off that, Florida's corners will hold up against Tennessee's weapons on the outside. Obviously, we're not limited to just Cedric Tillman, but how much of a difference will Cedric Tillman's injury make in that fact or fiction? Will those corners hold up too?
Go first, Andy.
I think it's fact that it's going to certainly make an impact when you don't have a guy like Cedric Tillman. I know you're still waiting to see what his availability is going to be. You know, even if he does play, like how many snaps is he going to get? How true is he going to be to his game style at that point? Like what's he going to be limited to? So I think 100% fact in that it's going to completely, you know, change a different look. I don't know if like the right word is that it's going to be make or break for these Florida secondary. I think that they have a strong secondary, but you have to feel confident in Jalen Hyatt and Brew McCoy because they haven't shown you too much to worry in terms of like how they've been able to step up. Jalen Hyatt had the last 2 weeks he set two and three different career high numbers, so he's really had a good start to the year, and I think that's helped his confidence level out. It's just obviously that Cedric Tillman provides such a different feel than Jalen Hyatt, and if it's just Jalen Hyatt and Brew McCoy, then you kind of have to throw someone else in there, then it does become obviously completely different feel. So I guess fact that it does change the game, but you know, for now I haven't seen anything that would make me worry to a 10th degree.
Yeah, I think there's no way to say that, you know, a limited Cedric Tillman doesn't impact this game. The way that he's been against ranked teams, specifically like the way he's played in big games, it's always been huge. Now, this year he's had drops. Like this year he hasn't looked like the Cedric Tillman that we became accustomed to a year ago. And despite that, you know, despite him not being a full version of himself, I think that you've still been able to move the ball through the air. So him not being a full version of himself this weekend, I don't think it severely is a severe detriment because I think that this system still holds up. The quarterback play still holds up. And you know, you have guys that are ready to make some plays. Obviously, Cedric Tillman is a game breaker. He's a different type of talent. As for Florida's corners, I don't know if they hold up. I don't really think so. I don't think that they're, quite frankly, just going to consistently be able to communicate, get in a position, line up, and be ready to defend a difficult, you know, passing attack that Tennessee is going to give them. I think that you're going to be able to move the ball around. I think you're going to move the ball well through the air. I think you're going to be able to run the ball well, too. Cedric Tillman, no Cedric Tillman, limited Cedric Tillman. Again, it's more difficult, but it's not too difficult. You know, I think it will still be successful, but I guess my answer is fact. in kind of a loaded fact or fiction kind of way. You got anything else for us, Sam?
Yeah, I've got one more. Fact or fiction, Tennessee's defense struggles mainly with the mobility of Anthony Richardson.
It's hard to say that they won't when they have against mobile quarterbacks. I mean, even DJ Irons was a little bit slippery a week ago, but you know, last year mobile quarterbacks hurt you. Emory Jones was able to hurt you. Matt Corral ran for almost 200 yards. It was like 196.
Yeah, I think it was 195.
I mean, yeah, you've struggled with that, and you know, hopefully another year of development and coaching, you learn how to better blitz for contain. Again, you have to mirror in the middle, and you have to set a hard edge and just collapse a pocket rather than chase a quarterback like Anthony Richardson. You just have to collapse things around and make it hard for him to step into throws and you know, don't give him room to get loose. It's less about sacks and more about pressure when you're playing a guy like Anthony Richardson. So Juwan Mitchell, I mean, I think he played really well last week. It's hard to necessarily assess an entire performance against Akron, but I thought he handled the mobility of Irons well. I think that Jeremy Banks sometimes can be a little bit too aggressive, and sometimes that puts him out of position, which could maybe cause some issues. Aaron Beasley, I think, has come a long way in a year, and you know, having him as that option as well as Juwan Mitchell definitely helps in that regard. But I think, yeah, you'll still see times where Anthony Richardson gets loose. I don't think you'll be able to perfectly contain him on Saturday.
What was the full question in terms of what would be fact, what would be fiction?
Tennessee's defense struggles mainly with the mobility of Anthony Richardson.
I mean, yeah, I feel like...
My official answer is faction, by the way.
Well, it's like one of those things that's like...
Because I don't think it's a complete struggle, but I think there are just times that yeah, he beat you.
That's one of the things where it's like, that's the most dangerous part of his game. So it's like, if he is going to get you, it's going to be that way. So fact, like you said, there's probably going to be instances where you do struggle with that. But I don't think it's like it's going to be nearly as devastating as it was week one against Utah. I feel like the two teams prior to that did a really good job of containing him. And our linebacker coach, Tennessee linebacker coach Brian Jean-Marie, he said, you know, they prepared for DJ Irons to kind of be similar in that he would roll out of the pocket some. It didn't happen in that Akron game. He stayed in the pocket for most of it. But he was even like, you know, we feel like we're a whole week ahead of schedule in terms of preparing for a mobile quarterback. But you're right, you know, that is something that Tennessee struggled with last year. So I think there is going to be moments. So I think, yeah, I think the faction is the best way to put it, because it is his most part. It's the most dangerous part of his game. So you expect to get beat maybe once or twice.
All right, good set of fact or fiction there, Sam. Well, wrap things up on the other side with Best Bet. Get ready to build a Thursday night one game or same game parlay, blitz style, on the other side.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for fan.
Final segment of the blitz. When we're back here tomorrow, it'll be game day eve. We'll be in the midst of our 48-hour focus. But we're going to wrap the show up like we always do. Again, it's time for our Best Bet. So I want your best bet, and I also want one leg of a same-game parlay, the Blitz same-game parlay that we are creating tonight. So, Sam, without further ado, you go first.
All right. In the same-game parlay world, I'm going to go with Nick Chubb over 84.5 rushing yards. That Cleveland offense is clearly running through him right now with Deshaun Watson out.
Over 84.5 rushing yards?
Over 84.5 rushing yards. No TJ Watt. That defense is a little shaky now. And then my normal bet, I'm going to just take the Steelers plus 3.5.
Steelers plus 3.5 for your best bet?
For my best bet, I'll take Steelers plus 3.5.
See, I'm going to go completely opposite. I'm going Browns minus 3.5.
For your same game parlay leg?
No. Just for my own best bet. I'm going Browns. If we're adding to that, I'll kind of go. So you've got Nick Chubb over 85 yards. I will add on Nick Chubb anytime touchdown score. I think he gets in the end zone as well.
That was actually what I was going to add. So perfect. You have Nick Chubb anytime touchdown score. And we got Nick Chubb over 85.5. And my leg of the parlay is going to be Steelers money line.
Hmm. See, I don't know about that.
So $20.
That might have just ruined it.
Wins you $280. That's the official.
That might have just ruined the parlay. That's the
official.
Though.
Nope. That's my pick. That's the Blitz same game parlay. It's officially official, Andy. Nick Chubb, 85, over 85 rushing yards. Nick Chubb to score anytime, but the Steelers to win outright. Steelers money line. So I'm getting it. I'm seeing it here at plus 1,300 odds.
I think I'm going to throw in another best bet of the day outside of the single game parlay, unless we want to throw it in there too. I'm going to go Pat Freiermuth anytime touchdown also.
Okay, you're feeling
it. I think it's
one.
A Pat day.
For my best bet, I'm heading over to college football. I kind of want to take Chattanooga plus 19.5 tonight. Kind of want to take Coastal Carolina minus 2.5 tonight. But I think I'm going to take West Virginia minus 2.5 at Virginia Tech. I know West Virginia lost to Kansas, and now maybe people are down on him a little bit, or down on them a little bit. But as we talked about earlier this week, Kansas is just a good football team. That's just as weird as it sounds to say that. They lost to a good football team in overtime. Virginia Tech, though, not a good football team. I mean, they played at 11 a.m. last week just to try to hide that they're not a good football team. They lost to Old Dominion. They really haven't played inspiring football, and that's a roster that doesn't have a ton of talent. So I like West Virginia tonight to go on the road, head to Virginia Tech, Lane Stadium, and cover the minus 2.5. That is my best bet. Did you guys win your best bet yesterday?
Negative.
I forgot what it was.
Oh, great job.
Oh, wait, let me look. It's something with baseball.
Ooh, yeah, let me look.
I won. I had Guardians.
Oh, wait, no, wait. Wrong game.
I had
I lost.
The Rockies, I believe.
I lost.
And
you lost. What was your bet again? Got?
Mine was Cubs Marlins under 6.5 runs. There were 7 runs.
It's tough.
Tough loss.
Yeah, my Guardians pick, they won 8-2. Shout out Tristan McKenzie. He was good, Tristan McKenzie, last night.
You never know what you're getting.
No, never do. But last night you got 8 innings, 13 strikeouts, 2 earned runs, Tristan McKenzie, which means that was Wednesday, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Monday, our best bet should be against the Cleveland Guardians and Tristan McKenzie, because he's not going to do that twice in a row. It's just not what he does. So keep that in mind for Monday. I really do like all 3 of those college football games tonight. Really, if you want to parlay them together, West Virginia minus 2.5, Coastal Carolina minus 2.5. It does make me a little bit nervous to take road favorites, close road favorites sometimes, but combine that too with, like, again, with UTC plus 19.5 against Illinois. I think UTC is a good enough FCS program, and Illinois not necessarily built to blow people out. I don't know. I parlay those together. That's a nice little play. That's a nice little play. So our same game parlay, Nick Chubb over 85.5 yards. Nick Chubb, anytime touchdown scores, Steelers money line, 20 wins you 280. By the way, Sam, how'd you deal with the rest of the day after your gallon challenge?
It was a very tough rest of the day. I got home, and yeah, it felt like I felt like I had a gallon of milk just boiling in my stomach. I had to sit down and take probably a good 2.5 hour nap. After that, I felt a little bit better. But
how do you feel today? Any lingering effects?
No, I feel normal today. I actually am a little bit concerned, like, how well I processed almost a gallon of milk yesterday. Like, all I needed was a nap, really.
Don't do it again now.
I didn't
milk
throw
is
up.
Water. Milk is Gatorade.
Yeah.
Milk is fuel.
If I lose again, I kind of hope I get the gallon challenge and see if I can do it with skim milk or 1%. I think just...
Well, it's off the wheel now.
Oh, it's off the wheel once it's gone?
Yeah. That's why I'm not happy, because I've avoided losing, like, every week so far. 4 weeks in a row.
Yep.
But somehow, none of the challenges that are the most adverse to myself have been picked yet. All the spicy ones are still there, and I'm due for a loss.
Yeah, that's
tough.
I'm
scared that I'm going to lose this week.
That gallon challenge would have been a breeze for you, I think.
Yeah. Do you want me to go back to putting the confidence picks in this week, Andy?
Oh, yeah, you can go back to
okay,
it.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's fine. We gave you your week. You got your win.
Yeah.
It was carnage for all of us. You happy?
I'm sure. Happy, yeah. It made the difference, I think. We can go back and forth now.
All right. Sam, maybe even you get a turn.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, for Charlie, for Andy Brock, for Sam Beard, this has been The Blitz. Appreciate you tuning in. We hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll be back here in the same spot, same time, same place tomorrow on Fan Run Radio. But coming up next, don't touch the dial. It's John Reed and Talk Sports.